The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinus was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. This is what the responsorial psalm on this solemn night proclaims powerfully, and also sang so beautifully by our magnificent choir. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord. The verb is in the present tense. Today is, not today was. It tells us, my dear friends, that the Christmas season, the season of the birth of Christ, is not just an event of the past. It is not just something that we commemorate that happened more than 2,000 years ago, but rather, it is a way of life, a lifestyle, or the more appropriate word, it is a vocation. Of course, we don't discount or disregard that it happened 2,000 years ago. There is that historical fact. But it is more than that. And what do I mean when I say that the appropriate word to describe the nativity of Christ is that it is a vocation? That the birthing of Christ continues in our lives. That the configuration of our person to this very image and being of God in Christ Jesus is a gradual and lifelong process. Or in the words of the evangelist John in the gospel, tomorrow, the Word made flesh continues to take flesh in us and in one another. But how does this birthing continues to happen in us and with us? This reminds me of a poem which I actually read a few years ago, and it was penned by Howard Thurman, an American author and philosopher. And that poem by him captures this so beautifully, this reality that I'm trying to expound here. He wrote these beautiful words. He said, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart." Have you ever thought that maybe the work of Christmas, as enumerated by Howard Thurman in his poem, is probably what it means and looks like for the Word to become flesh and live among us? Christmas, then, is not just an event of the past or a moment in history, but a way of being and living with each other. And all of this is rooted in the very person of Christ. I remember in an Advent retreat, the bishop who was facilitating the retreat asked the participants in a piece of paper on what makes their Christmas truly merry. You know, that's how we greet one another, right? Merry Christmas. But what makes Christmas really merry? Some participants wrote varied things: gifts, parties, decorations, a little bit of break, family gatherings, reunions, and so on. But he said, no one wrote Jesus Christ as a reason for our merrymaking. That's why I understand why some people at times say, keep Christ in Christmas. He is the very reason for it. And when I say keep Christ in Christmas, not just keep the name or the word Christ in it, but making it with all honesty what makes our Christmas truly merry and memorable. Is Christ the primary reason for your Christmas being truly merry? Just a few days ago, I was talking to a close friend of mine, and she was so disappointed that she was not able to make it to their Advent penance service. She lives in the East Side. So I asked, what were you doing that evening? And she said, well, I was buying all the Christmas presents for my family. And it dawned on her, and she said to me while we were having the phone conversation, she said, I have everything for everyone except for the person who is the very reason why we have Christmas in the first place. You know, she felt terrible, and she had a long pause, and she said to me, well, I am seeing you in 2 days, right, for a meal. So why don't you bring your stole and meet me in the parking lot and you hear my confession before we enter the restaurant? What will I say? No. I said, sure. You know, she knew that a clean heart is her best gift to the very reason for this season and all the seasons there are. Brothers and sisters, let us give to God our humanity and everything that goes with it as our gift. And he gives us his divinity as his gift to us. You know, that's the greatest exchange of gifts that we can possibly experience. You know, that's the practice. You know, we practice sometimes in our parties, exchange gifts. But the exchange of gifts that happened between us and God is the most powerful exchange of gifts that we can ever experience. So reflecting on this great event, this great gift that God has given us in the birth of Christ, is Christ truly the reason for your joy during this season? Or is he just one of the elements, one of the added things that makes us joyful? And why is Christ the primary and the ultimate reason for our merriness, if there's such a word as that? The responsorial psalm also spells it out for us. Because today is born our Savior. He's qualified. He's named. He is not just anyone. He is our Savior. Today, the Messiah comes to us to redeem you and I from all kinds of miseries, but most especially from the slavery of sin. And the name of the child born in the manger says it all, Jesus. What does the word or the name Jesus literally means? God saves. God redeems. That is why, my dear friends, I've mentioned this a few years ago, I think, that the wood of the manger is the prefiguration of the wood of the cross. The wood in the manger cannot be separated from the wood of the cross, as what the responsorial psalm proclaims today. Today is born our Savior. And what will the Savior eventually do when he grows up? He will die for you. He will die for you and I on the cross. As what the first reading from the book of Isaiah proclaims tomorrow, I love this. Not that I don't love what Jeanine proclaimed today. It's beautiful as well. It's from the same book, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Break out together in song, O ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord comforts his people. He redeems Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nation. All the ends of the earth will behold the salvation of our God. Break out together in song, O ruins of Jerusalem. You know, this feels like a message directed to me. Do you feel like you are in ruins right now? Well, it's been quite a week for us here in the parish, you know, with Father Peter and I. We've been dealing with some heavy stuffs with what's going on in the lives of some of our parishioners. Just this week, you know, without damping our joyful celebration this evening, we've just been accompanying two families who have lost their children through suicide. One was just 2 days ago. And as I reflect on that reading today, break out together in song, O ruins of Jerusalem, I know that that was exactly what this family is experiencing right now. And I was just talking with a mother yesterday, and she said, "We will be there, Father, at one of the masses. That's going to be our source of strength." And I just realized this is precisely why Christ needs to be born every single Christmas. This is precisely why Christ is born today. And what we commemorate is not something in the past, but rather something that happens so powerfully each time we celebrate this very solemn night. Do you feel like you are in ruins right now? Christ is born for you. He comes to comfort you, but He comes, more importantly, to save you, and He comes to give you new life. Let Him save you anew. Merry Christmas, my dear friends.